Well, good morning to everybody gathered here in Wesley Hall, everybody that's watching online. We're going to wrap up our sermon series today called Making Change because we believe that we're all pursuing a better tomorrow. And sometimes the truth is, the biblical principle is that in order to have a better tomorrow, we have to make a change today. And I want to talk about a specific today, a change that we need to make today, a reorientation about something we call tomorrow. How many of you grew up and you collected comic books when you were a kid? Yeah. Any comic book collectors? Yeah, I was a comic book collector. How many of you collected baseball cards? Baseball cards? A lot of more baseball cards. And you had like a card that now you wish you had back. Right? Some of you go, I had a Honus Wagner, you know, but I don't know what happened to it. I used it as a spoke on my wheels on my bicycle or whatever. There's a million stories like that. You had a Babe Ruth rookie card and you don't know where it is. You moved and you lost it or something. My Honus Wagner or my Babe Ruth was not a baseball card. It was a comic book. I had a big collection and my prized possession was I had Iron Man number one. I had this comic book right here. Iron Man number one, the premier issue. And I think I paid about $30 for it. I had mowed some lawns and done some stuff. My kids today are like, you had to mow lawns? And I'm like, what's a lawnmower? And I'm like, yeah, it was torture. It was horrible. But we actually worked. And so I had a little money, and I spent about $30 on, and I got Iron Man number one. It came out in about 1967, I think, written by Stan Lee. And I was so fired up to have it. And I remember kind of understanding its value, but everybody telling me, oh, one day that's really going to be valuable. And my stepdad in particular was like, hold on to that. He got me a little cellophane bag, you know, to put it into. You know, don't touch it. Don't read it. Just put it in there and put it in your underneath your bed or whatever. Don't touch it. And that was awesome. And I couldn't wait until I cashed in, you know, on Iron Man number one. And that lasted about 7 days. 7 days, I held on to it. And something else better came along, and I thought, I've got to have that, right? And what I wanted was an Evel Knievel stunt cycle. This came out. I saw a commercial for it. You have one of those, you know, and on the commercial, the way it worked is you wound up this thing, and then it got all this speed, and you hit the button, and the cycle would go off, and it would flip two or three times beautifully, and then it would land smoothly right in the dirt and keep on driving off. And I saw the ad. I thought, I've got to have one of those. What do I have that I could, Iron Man number one. And I begged my stepdad, please take me down to Peyton's bookstore in downtown Shreveport. I can sell my Iron Man number one. And he sat me down. He said, do not do that. It'd be a huge mistake. Don't do it. It's going to be worth more. I'm like, it's $30. He's like, it's going to be worth more tomorrow. Hold on to it. It's going to go up in value. Well, in all my infinite 13-year-old wisdom, I said, no, let's go to Peyton's. And we took it down there, and I sold Iron Man number one for $37.50. Yeah, I made $7.50. Today, the good news is it's only worth about $6,500 today, right? I go back all the time, and I look to see the value of the version that I had all the time. It just sends me back in a stupor. And And it was really the first memory that I have of learning how challenging it is to wait, but how valuable it is to wait for tomorrow. We don't want to wait. And here's the real problem. I'm not sure I've matured at all since I owned Iron Man number one. Like zero. I don't want to wait any more today than I did then. I want to cash in now. We're wired like that, and culture just tells us instant gratification. And when we don't want to wait, something kind of nasty bubbles up, right? When I go to the grocery store, I'm the guy that when I get in line, I don't care what line I get in, the person in front of me always calls for a price check, you know, and I'm a loving Christian pastor until I'm behind a price checker. And it's a confessional. I'm like frightened at what bubbles up inside because I have to wait an extra 30 seconds in line. We don't want to wait. We hate the word wait. We should take it out of our care. We don't want to wait. We want it now. We want what we want when we want it. And here's the truth. We've become pretty proficient at getting what we want when we want it. Think about it. We take this for granted, but we've mastered this, right? It used to be if you wanted to buy an orange, you had to wait till it was orange season. Not anymore. You can go to a grocery store anytime you want and buy an orange. Anytime you want. We, you know, boil crawfish. We love that. It used to be you had to wait for crawfish season. Not anymore. You can order them from Korea. You can get crawfish right now. Anytime you want. We've become very proficient at getting what we want when we want it. What's the worst thing that happens when you try to stream something online? buffering, buffering, buffering. You just want to rip out your computer and throw it away. You can't stand to see that little thing that says buffering. Why? You don't want to wait. My wife, Ashley, she loves these TV shows. She likes a show called The Crown. And remember back in the day when you'd watch a show and the narrative or the storyline wasn't yet complete, and at the end of the show it would say to be continued, and you had to wait? Not anymore. She watches a whole season in one night. Right? Y'all, some of you do that. You binge watch. You're not going to wait. What am I going to wait around for the episode number two? No, I'm going to watch the whole thing in one sitting. See, we've trained ourselves. We've conditioned ourselves to believe that we can get what we want when we want it. And we're pretty darn good at getting what we want when we want it. One of the byproducts of living like that, though, is we ignore accidentally the value of something called tomorrow. There is extraordinary value in waiting, more often than not, letting things mature, letting things develop. And we live in a world that says, don't do that. Get it, seize it right now. And it's become so difficult to think about or entertain the notion of waiting to let something develop. And what a travesty. You know what the area of our life I think this happens most egregiously? It's our money, our finances. And we're going to wrap up this whole series of sermons about money. And today's not a holy money sermon. It's kind of a bait and switch, right? Sometimes you go to church and they're talking about something else. And then they talk to you about money. And you think, wait a minute. No, today's the opposite. You probably thought you were going to hear about money. And I'm going to bait and switch you. We're going to talk a little bit about money as a reflection of a far greater principle about the value of tomorrow. But where it shows up the most egregiously is with our money, because the way that we treat our money, you know what? We hate to wait. We don't want to wait on it to grow. We don't want to wait on it to develop. We don't want to wait on it to make it. We want to get rich quick, and we want to spend fast. And if you think about money, at the end of the day, there's really only three things you can do with your money. After you've made some money, you can spend it, you can save it, or you can give it away. That's it. That's all you can do with your money. You can give it away, you can save some of it, or you spend it. And the scriptures speak to us a lot about how to deal with our money. We don't often consult the Bible as a financial planning guide. It's odd. We don't think of that as being very valuable. But you look into it and you plow through its pages and you realize over and over and over, scripture talks to us about how to deal with our money. And when it comes to giving some of it away or saving some or spending, the Bible asks us to order our lives in this way: to give, to save, and to live off the rest. That's the biblical principle. If you don't remember anything else today, take that with you, right? Give, save, live off the rest. That's what the scripture tells us about money. You make some money. Okay, I'm going to give some of it away. I'm going to save some of it. And then whatever's left over, that's what I'm going to live off of. And it's amazing if we were to just do this and embrace this one simple principle, how much easier and better our life would be. And you know what? It has nothing to do with volume. Nothing to do with volume. You can live into this principle no matter how much you make, no matter how wealthy you are, no matter how poor you are. You can honor this principle. Give, save, live off the rest. That's why the scripture teaches us to tithe. The tithe is not about volume. The tithe is about percentage. You pick a percentage, and then from a disciplined standpoint, you give away some to the ministries of God. And if you make less, you give less because you're just on a percentage. God doesn't care about volume. It's just the discipline. You give, you save, you live off the rest. But here's what we do. Most of us, myself included, we flip the paradigm, don't we? We flip the paradigm. We live off whatever we have. In fact, we live off more than we have. And that's called debt, and that's called credit. We borrow a bunch of stuff. We put stuff on cards. We want it now. And so we live off whatever we have, and we burn through it. And then if there's anything left over, we should probably save some for ourselves, and we should, if there's anything after that, maybe I saw pictures of starving kids and that tugged at my heartstrings. Yeah, okay, I'll give a little bit. That's how most of us live. But two of the categories have to do with what? Tomorrow. Tomorrow, that's what giving and saving is about. Giving is about provisioning someone else's tomorrow. That's why we start new churches. That's why we give away so many resources here at the church, because we want to provision the spreading of the gospel, not for ourselves, but for the next generation yet to come. It shores up tomorrow. Saving is about tomorrow. You save so that you'll have some money and resources in the future. and then you live off the rest. And so God calls us to embrace this paradigm so that we pay attention to something that we loathe paying attention to, and that's this notion of waiting. That's this notion of tomorrow. I don't want to give because I need it now. I don't want to save because I probably need it now. Look what the scripture has to say about this. Tomorrow really matters according to the scripture. You'd think I'd gotten this from Edward Jones or Baird or one of the, this is like, EF Proverbs, right? This is the Bible. This is a guy named Solomon, who's the wealthiest person who ever lived. We talk about Solomon here a lot. If you've never read the Bible, by the way, this is probably a pretty good place to start. This is in the middle of the Old Testament. It's just called Proverbs. And if you don't know yet about the resurrection of Christ or the virgin birth, and you can't get your head around any of that stuff, that's okay. You might want to start right here. This is just wisdom. These are just things that Solomon said. You know what? I'm the wealthiest guy that's ever lived. History would tell us that Solomon was the wealthiest human that's ever lived. He said, I get to the end of my life and there's a bunch of things I've learned. I've seen some things, I've experienced some things. I want to write them down so that other people won't struggle in the ways that I have struggled. So he wrote several texts. We have a book called Ecclesiastes, and then in the middle of the Old Testament, there's a thing called Proverbs. It's so, this is so ridiculously practical. And you would think this is coming from a financial planning seminar, but listen, Proverbs 21. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. There it is. Fools don't care about tomorrow. They get $10, they spend $10. We want it now. We could care less about tomorrow. There doesn't seem to be much value in tomorrow. The Hebrew for this really, right, would be paycheck to paycheck. Not really, but it makes sense. 76% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. That means 7 out of 10 people on your row right now, if they don't have a job next month, they can't make rent. There's no planning or prep for tomorrow. And immediately you're going to push back and say, you know what? There's some people that they make $5 an hour, Paul, and you're going to insult them, and they have no choice but to live paycheck to paycheck. I totally understand that. Listen, I totally understand that. But just work with me for 1 second. Let's be real honest. Most people this morning that are hearing this message do not have to live this way. Not if you were to truly embrace the biblical principles of how to deal with your money. To give, to save, to live off the rest. We tend to ignore the value of tomorrow because we don't want to wait. Proverbs 6:6, Solomon said this, go to the ant, you sluggard. That's my favorite. Isn't it high time we brought back the word sluggard as an insult in the English language, right? I don't even know what a sluggard is. It just sounds, yeah, sluggard, you sluggard, right? Go to the ant, you sluggard. Right, we're like the most impressive big animal in the animal kingdom. Okay, let's go to the smallest and let's see if we can learn anything from what they do. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and it gathers its food when? Tomorrow. Even the ant has figured this out. I should probably save some now so that when winter rolls around, I still have plenty to eat. This is so incredibly simple. We don't often look to the scriptures to advise us in matters of supreme practicality when it comes to spending our money. And Solomon says, even the ant has got this thing figured out. You know what the ant does? The ants learn that there is enormous value in tomorrow, that tomorrow actually matters more than we give it credit for. We try to get rich quick. I always got a bunch of buddies that are calling me all the time. Oh, you got to try this, right? We're going to do this and whammo, we're going to be rich. Never works out. They always try, but look, scripture talks about that. Proverbs 13:11. Dishonest money dwindles away. But whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. We should probably factor in tomorrow. The scripture says this. This is your Bible. It says, have you ever thought about just little deposits on time, over time, that really is the way to wealth? You should probably just save. Again, it has nothing to do with volume. Maybe it's a nickel, I don't know. But little by little, it accumulates. But you have to factor in time, and you have to factor in waiting, and you have to factor in tomorrow. And when you read scripture, what you will find is that God's schedule for blessing is totally different than ours. See, we think blessing comes now. And God's schedule is always different. God seems to place a premium on tomorrow. God seems to place a premium on waiting. When Jesus was crucified, they were so distraught because he was dead now. So they all hit the panic button and he said, no, just wait. Just wait. I would get so frustrated reading the passages about the crucifixion because I thought, why didn't he just stop it now? Because there's value in tomorrow. There's going to be a greater truth as this thing matures over the next 2 or 3 days, and then I come bursting out of that tomb. That's going to be a truth that transformed the world. But you're going to need to wait. The disciples got so frustrated with Jesus when he didn't heal Lazarus. Now, he'd just wait. Maybe I wouldn't have designed it that way in all my infinite, impatient wisdom, but that's the way God does it. God places a premium on waiting. And we don't wait very well. We don't want to wait. And God seems to specialize in it. God seems to truly specialize in having people wait. Think about the many stories in the Bible, all throughout the pages of Scripture. Abraham and Sarah, they wanted a baby right now. You got to wait. How long? Till you're way past your fertility years, right? All throughout the Bible, people want to be healed now. You got to wait for healing. Sometimes it's even, this is a little frightening, sometimes it's after death. That's the beauty of eternal life. The Israelites were in the desert for 40 years. They wanted to get out now. And he said, there's power in tomorrow. I got a plan. Just work with me. Work with me, guys, and work with me. Think about the time gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. This is always fascinating to me. See, we think the Old Testament just transitions into the New Testament. You just flip a page between Zechariah and Matthew. But do you realize the time gap between when the Old Testament was written and when the New Testament was started is 400 years? 4 centuries. I mean, as a country, we've only been around about half of that, right? 400 years, and there were thousands of believers that, based on the writings of the Old Testament, were convinced that Messiah was on the way. And still, God has the audacity to say, wait. Wait. Something's going to happen, but it might not be until tomorrow. I'm telling you this morning, some of you need to hold fast to this because you don't understand why your problems are not solved right now. And so you're giving up hope and you've discounted the value of tomorrow. You've discounted what happens when God blesses us with little deposits of effort and sweat and toil on time, overtime. This isn't about money. This is about any category. Isn't that true? On time, overtime matters. What about in your physical life? One installment means nothing of exercise. But little installments, on time, overtime, whoa. Transformation. There's value in tomorrow. Nobody's ever worked out once. How many of us have tried that? You start to feel bad about who you are and your body, and you think, I'm going to work out, mega workout. I saw it on TV, P90X, woo, and you do it all, and you're stretching, doing all that stuff, and the next morning your body's like, you're a total idiot. And you hurt, and you go to the office after one workout, right? And how many people go, wow, you look really impressive. You must have knocked out 50 or 60 push-ups yesterday, right? No. Come on, that never, it's on time, over time. On time, over time. Your relationships, on time, over time. Bible reading, on time, over time. One installment means nothing. A church service. How many people show up? Well, I didn't like it. Went one time. On time, over time. On time. We just like it if they're on time, right? That'd be kind of cool. On time, over time. Small group work. Well, I went one time. It was no good. One installment means nothing. It's cumulative value in making small deposits. This has nothing to do with just money. Money's just the best illustration of it. These are all the things in our life that matter the most. On time, over time. That's what makes the difference. But you can't embrace that unless you understand and appreciate how important tomorrow is. There's cumulative, there's summative value in living like this, but we don't want to wait. We want it now. The truth is, God doesn't want now, God wants best. And what's best doesn't always happen now. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who wait for the Lord, those who wait, oh, there it is again. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Some of your versions might not even say wait. The original Greek there actually could be translated as trust. Those who trust in the Lord. Isn't that the same thing? Isn't that what God asks us to do when he asks us to wait? When he puts a premium on tomorrow, I need you to do the greatest thing that God wants us to do in the first place. Trust him. And the only way to trust him is to trust him. That's it. There's no trickery. So you're put in an environment that requires you to trust. You give, you save, you live off the rest. Okay, that would require trust. That would require waiting, dependence, surrender. And God says, exactly. Exactly. That's why this truth is so important. Investing small amounts over time is so cumulative in every category of your life. The flip side of that is true too. Neglect is equally cumulative. So if you don't appreciate tomorrow, you don't think too much about neglect. If tomorrow's not on your radar, you could care less about neglect because it's just now. And if I neglect this now, it won't matter. Neglect is equally cumulative. You neglect exercising for 1 year. It's cumulative, and some of you know people. You got parents or grandparents or maybe yourself, and your body is totally falling apart, and you wish you could go back and what? Put a value on tomorrow. But neglect is cumulative, and some of your marriages are struggling because you've neglected them over time. And neglect is cumulative, and some of you don't have relationships with your children because you neglected time with them. And it adds up. And then you know what we want to do? We want to try to make up for it. And that's the ultimate truth about acknowledging and paying attention and valuing tomorrow is none of us can really make up for misspent time or frankly, misspent money. Once it's burned, it's burned. And we try so hard, right? We never spend any time with our kids. But this Saturday, we're going to be around the dinner table for 8 hours straight. We're just going to hang out. And that not only does it not work, but it's destructive. And your kids are like, this is horrible. You want to cram, don't you? We call that an all-nighter back in college. Remember those days? All-nighter, pulled an all-nighter. Pulled an all-nighter, organic chem test coming up, pulled an all-nighter. You know what that meant? That meant you didn't study a lick all semester long, but then you were going to load up on coffee and no-dos, and you're going to, what? Pull an all-nighter. And you might have done okay on the test. But what worked in organic chem doesn't work in life. You can't cram for a healthy marriage. You can't cram for a healthy body. You cannot cram for healthy finances. You cannot cram for spiritual maturity. Little deposits on time over time. And the only way to embrace that is to truly appreciate the power of tomorrow. We don't want to wait. We can't always see the fruits of this. Kids, let me just derail for a minute and talk to the children in the room, the youth in the room. Your parents want you to read 20 minutes a day, and you're like, I don't want to. I want to play a game now. Immediate gratification. No. You know why your parents do that? Because they understand there's value in tomorrow. We want you to make these decisions today. Why? Because there's payoff tomorrow. God places a premium on tomorrow. And for the younger people in the room, please hear this because you have a chance more than any of us to claim this truth, to start saving now, to start putting small deposits of effort now. There's a reason your mom and dad say you got to practice the piano 30 minutes a day, every day. And you're like, no, I want to go do this now. And you don't understand the payoff. It's just a bunch of random stuff that you do. And at the end of tomorrow, you know, we're going to have a bunch of random that adds up to absolutely nothing. But if you honor the wisdom of the scripture, and you begin to apply this principle, whether it's your money, whether it's your relationships, whether it's playing the piano, it doesn't matter. There's enormous blessing yet to come. And I've learned in my life, I've learned in the pastorate that it would seem like God says no a lot. I don't believe that. I think God almost never says no. What I think God says though more often is not yet. And that's the hard place to live. And we want to forget about God because God just says, not yet. God doesn't say no. God says, not yet. I know what I'm doing. There's value in tomorrow. Stay with those consistent deposits. A little bit on time every day, over time. I'm telling you, there's payoff. There's cumulative. And Solomon told us that, and Isaiah told us that, and Jesus told us that. And the best way to prepare for tomorrow is simply to obey God today. And that's what we do. So that's why we're trying to make a change today, because we believe the best way to prepare for tomorrow is to obey the truths of God right now. So here's the question, then we're done. What do you need to work on today in your life? What category of your life right now have you forgotten or ignored the value of tomorrow? And so you need to make a change today. I don't know. Maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your money. I don't know the category, but what category of your life today do you need to start making incremental changes in so that there is an enormous blessing of payoff tomorrow? Don't make the mistake of thinking you can just go through life randomly and then cram for the things that matter the most. This is a very simple truth. But when we obey it today, it's amazing how blessed we are tomorrow. So looking back on this series, we think less is more. Less consumption means more. We're going to consume less now so that we'll have more of the things that matter the most. That giving is good. It is good spiritually. It is good mentally. Giving is good. Stress is bad. And most of the stress in our life is born out of our finances. And then we're going to close it all up by just acknowledging that maybe a now-oriented mindset is not the best way to live. Maybe we ought to pay more attention tomorrow because tomorrow really, really matters. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us to resist the temptation just to live so aggressively now? Lord, we know that's not about appreciating the moment, but just open us up to the reality that you tend to bless things over time, that when we take that which is most meaningful in our life and give it little bits of time, little bits of attention, little bits of resourcing, little bits of influence on time, over time, you seem to do something extraordinary with that. And so help us not to get restless and impatient and to think that we know better. Help us just to claim your truth today so that our lives will be better tomorrow. In your son's name we pray. Amen.